Well, let's take God's word this morning and turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We are currently dealing with the doctrine of man. We spent some time last week noting that we've been created in the image of God. And we spent some time in Genesis chapter 1, and so we reject. Turn what off? Yeah, you should just press escape. It's not working? All right. The sound's working right. All right. We spent some time talking about the creation of man. So we're in the doctrine of man, and I think it'll be appropriate at this time to go into this topic that fits right into the creation of man. But notice, let's begin reading in Psalm 139, and we'll read, let's begin reading in verse 13. And so David writes the psalm, and he talks about the omnipresence of God, but now he talks about, from verse 13 onward, about his creation and God's knowledge of him before he was even born. And if you notice Psalm 139, verse 13, the Bible says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." Now, we've been talking here about the subject of the doctrine of man, and we looked specifically at the creation of man. The doctrine of creation fits within the doctrine of man, although we're focusing not just on the creation in general, but really focusing on man who is created in the image of God. Now, in this psalm here, the psalmist mentions something very interesting in verse 16. He talks about his members being written and fashioned, notice, when as yet there was none of them. Now, we're dealing with the doctrine of creation, and now I think this week would be most appropriate to deal with what we're dealing with today, which is the subject of abortion that's come to the forefront. What is that rooted in? You know, unfortunately, we live in a world that, as you looked at the reaction this week, that people have taken to the streets and have become violent because ultimately, they want to continue to kill babies. That's really what it is. That is troubling, isn't it? To think of what is happening. But what is that rooted in? Well, it's rooted in doctrine. What do you believe? Now, when you think about the subject of creation, man made in the image of God, and here, before any member is fashioned by God, God fashions and thinks about every one of those members before they're even fashioned. And so, as Bible believers, we believe that life begins at conception. Okay? That's what we believe. That's what the Bible teaches very clearly. There is no common ground between the Bible and really those who hold to the idea of evolution. There is really no common ground. Now, I spent some time last week talking about how there are those who fit within the category of theistic evolution, to where they believe in God, but believe that God used the process of evolution to bring about mankind, where we are today. We don't reconcile both of those. Again, the theory of evolution is a theory. And to accept the theory of evolution is really to deny the Genesis account of creation and what God did, which is ultimately a denial of God's word, And also, it's calling Jesus Christ himself a liar. Now, someone, before we continue, who'd like to read Matthew 19, verse 4 through 6? James, go ahead. Read Matthew 19. Let's look at what Jesus said concerning creation. Now, again, those who claim some form of Christianity and to be Bible believers have to reconcile God's word with their position, what they hold to be true. And as we think about the words of Jesus Christ, I don't think Jesus Christ could be any clearer than that. So Matthew 19, verse 4 through 6. Go ahead, James.
And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.
Now, Jesus, basically, he repeated that throughout his earthly ministry. He says, have ye not read? Don't you know what the scripture says? Now, the embrace of the theory of evolution has brought about different types of movements. Now, for example, I believe that modernism is the logical outcome of the embrace of evolution. I think even humanism is the embrace of the theory of evolution, and also socialism and communism is also the embrace of the idea of evolution. Now, what is modernism? Modernism is really a denial of God's word in religious circles. Okay, so when you hear that word, modernism, it's those who belong to some form of church, but yet the church denies or rejects portions of God's word. They say, well, this is not valid, and so we don't accept this in God's word. That's modernism. Now, present-day modernism and evolution both came out of, you know, the mid-1800s, out of rationalism and the Enlightenment movement, right? German rationalism. But it was really came from Darwinian evolution, the Darwinian theory, basically that shook the foundation of Christian belief. And so when that Darwinian evolution came in the scene, believers were at a quandary and they thought, well, let's try to reconcile both of them. Instead of just outright rejecting it because it goes against what God's word, they brought it in with them, which is what we call modernism. Accepting the philosophy of the world, the doctrine of the world, and try to reconcile that with God's word instead of denying and rejecting it. When we think of humanism, humanism is a denial of the word of God in moral circles. So you think about modernism. Modernism is the denial of God's word in religious circles. Humanism is the denial of God's word in moral circles. So humanism denies the fact of sin, for example. Right? So many philosophers came out and said that promoted the idea that man, when he is born, he is a blank slate. He is neither good nor bad. Well, the Bible makes it very clear that we are born sinners. And that's the sinful nature that we have. They declare often that man is not getting worse, but he's getting better. That is humanism. Where does that come from? The theory of evolution. Things are getting better, right? We're becoming smarter. That's what is contended. So abortion, euthanasia, and suicide are the logical outcome of a society that considers man to be nothing more than an animal striving for the survival of the fittest. Whoever's best comes on top in the end, right? That is humanism. It is the denial of God's word in moral circles. Then, socialism and communism. Socialism is the denial of God's word in political circles. So modernism is denying of God's word in religious circles. Humanism is denying God's word in moral circles. And socialism and communism is denying God's word in political circles. In really the Marxist calendar of the saints, Darwin ranks second to Karl Marx. The founder of modern-day communism, Marx, was greatly influenced by the theory of Darwin. And so you have fascism, national socialism, Nazism, and racial supremacy as the fruit of evolutionary thought. Okay? Darwin was the one who promoted the idea that, well, the different races. And so some human races are not as advanced as other races. Okay? Where did that come from? Darwinian evolution. Hitler embraced that doctrine, if you would. That's why he wanted to stamp out the different races. The African American, or the African races, the Jewish races, all those things. So we got to stamp them out. They're not as evolved. They're like animals. That comes from evolution. And that, by the way, is a denial of God's word. And so, again, the logic was, well, let's stamp out all the lower species so we can attain the best. Okay, and so that's evolution. So whether it is, again, in all those things, modernism, humanism, socialism, or communism, it is all a denial of God's word. And that's what we have to understand. Now, we just read, notice in Psalm 139, David writes, and notice what he says again, verse 14. Well, he says verse 13, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Verse 14, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Understand, this is very important. Conception is a miracle of God. It is not the act of men. That's what the Bible says. So for somebody to come and to try to stamp that out, it is stamping out the creation of God. It is man replacing God and man becoming the determiner of what should be. The Bible says here, verse 14, he says, "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, and when I was made in secret." Now what are you talking about? In the womb, in secret, not in the view of men. That's where mankind is made, is developed. He says in verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance." You see, babies in the womb are just that. They're human babies made in the image of God, being fashioned, being created by God Himself. And so God knows all of that. Now, as we read that, we know that as we looked at Genesis 1, that we're made, created in the image of God. And so the Word of God is very clear about when life begins. And I affirm that life begins at conception. The eyes of the Almighty God see a baby in all of its parts, even before they are formed. God is the one who fashions all the members of a child. This brings us really to a dark place in our history, the history of the United States of America, with regards to the subject of abortion. In 1969, the National Association for the repealed abortion laws was formed and laid the groundwork for abortion on demand. In 1972, Jane Roe filed a suit to overturn a Texas law prohibiting her from having an abortion. The court ruled against her, which because her life was not in danger. The court ruled against her because her life was not in danger. So, in 1973, so a year later, the United States Supreme Court ruled the Texas court decision was unconstitutional, canceling laws against abortion immediately at that moment in all 50 states. Okay, so that's what happened. Now, on January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court ruled in the case of Roe versus Wade to legalize abortion. Only two justices ruled against it. Those who voted for, you can probably find their names online, but these six justices' decision was a violation of the United States Constitution. The 14th Amendment, Section 1, states the following: "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law." Now that's the 14th Amendment. And so the justices that voted against that voted, really made a decision that was against the very Constitution of the United States, depriving life of human beings. Now the Declaration of Independence is really undeniable. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Notice the first one is what?
Life.
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And so, to secure those rights, notice, the reason why a government is formed is to secure what right? The right to life. Now, the rights that you're talking about is, they're not expressed as, it's important here when we think about the founding of our country, the government was not founded to give certain rights. The government was founded to protect rights that were already natural. Okay? And the first one is life. Now, where we've been, I guess, for the last 150 years, we've seen really a change in people's mindset and concept about man being created in the image of God. And so certainly if you don't think that man is created in the image of God, that as a baby is formed in the womb, that that's not a person, that's not a human being, then you're denying the scriptures. And so the government existed, was formed, at least the United States of America was formed to secure these rights, not to take those rights away. So understand that the court had no right to take the right of life away from those babies. Didn't have the right to do that. Why? Because God is the giver of life. So the court had no right to come in and to deprive those of that right. So now this is not a political statement. We understand it is a moral statement, an acceptance of that which is. It's not a political debate. This is really a moral issue. And sadly, our country has gone astray with that. But understand here, when those who promote, for example, abortion, so I'm going on tangent, but this is the week. And by the way, I'm grateful for what happened this week. Now, I know that abortion's not going to cease. I think we all know that. I think that in many states it's going to be much worse. Now, for some states, it will be outlawed, and for that I'm grateful. And by the way, I believe that God will bless the states that do those things. I really believe that. God rewards righteousness, He punishes evil. That's what He does across the board. So I believe that God will bless the states that put either restriction on abortion or simply ban and outlaw abortion. I think that is a good thing. We must allow our doctrine to be rooted in God's Word. We may feel however we want about the political issues of the day, but the truth is it's not a political issue. It's either an acceptance of God's Word or a denial of God's Word. So I hope as Bible believers we want to accept God's Word and not deny it. Now, when abortion is promoted, it is a defiance of God. That's what it is. You know, the Bible is clear. When man was created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And so man was created after God's image and after God's likeness. And by the way, that truth is repeated not just in Genesis, but also throughout the rest of the biblical record. For example, in James 3:9, the Bible says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." So even James says, you know, on one hand we can praise God, on the other hand we can curse man, and we really shouldn't do that. We shouldn't curse man because man is made in the image of God. I use that verse to talk to my children to say, you shouldn't make fun of how someone looks, or maybe how they may be a little different. Why? Because they're created by God. And so to make fun of somebody is to really defy God who created that person. And you don't want to do that. Even later in Genesis 9:6, the Bible says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." And so he repeats that again a little later. He says, look, you can't murder someone. Why? Because God made him. Now, God would make rules later that if you take somebody's life, you're life, but that's instituted by the state, Right? God instituted the state for the punishment of evildoers. Romans 13 makes that very clear. But we don't take that upon ourselves. That's an assignment of government to punish evildoers and to reward them that do good. And so when men take it upon themselves to stamp out a person's life, they do so in defiance of the one who created that person and who is forming that person in the womb. Proverbs says, and you know, by the way, scientists who study the development of a baby in the womb, they don't know how it happens. Now, they know conception, all the information is there, but how does it develop? How does that happen? Right? Well, God is involved in the creation of man. Proverbs 6:16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." He says, "Hands that shed innocent blood." And so it is quite amazing that the proponents of this vile practice of abortion have been labeled as the compassionate ones. Right? That's what you hear. The idea here is, well, it's a woman's right to choose. That is very inappropriate to think about that logic. So, if a woman chooses to kill her 10-year-old son, who's alive, does she have the right to choose? It is illogical to think about that. The whole idea of the right to choose means, well, it's whatever your choice is. You can do that if that's your choice. You don't let your children live that way, do you? Well, whatever you want, little Johnny, live as you please. Make your own decision. No. We tell them, you can't do this. That's not right. And so the idea of the right to choose is rooted in a false doctrine. Man is God. That's humanism. It is a denial of God's word and the idea that man is his own God. Man makes his own decisions. And so the people would say, you know, we should use that logic for everything. I'd rob a bank. And so why'd you rob a bank? Well, I have the right to choose. Why'd you burn your neighbor's house down? Well, I have the right to choose. You do not have the right to choose to take somebody's life. That is not a right that is given to you. It's not a right. You see, the language that's used today is very deceptive. According to the information found, now this is on the Planned Parenthood website, the description of abortion is really misleading. This is what they write. How does in-clinic abortion work? Here's the answer. A doctor or nurse uses medical instruments of gentle suction to remove the pregnancy from the uterus. Do you catch those words? Remove the pregnancy from the uterus. You're not removing a pregnancy. A pregnancy is the condition, is the describing, right, your state. You are pregnant. It is a pregnancy. But that's a child. Right? You're not removing a pregnancy. You're removing a child. Okay? That's why when they perform an abortion, they remove the limbs, and then the doctors, to make sure that the entire child has been removed, they reassemble the child once the child is out to make sure that all the parts are out. It's not a pregnancy, it's a child that they're removing. The next question they have is, how does the medical abortion work? You take pills that end your pregnancy and make your uterus expel the pregnancy tissue. That's how they word it. That's lies. It's deception. So they're not removing or expelling a pregnancy. They are barbarically killing, dismembering, and storing human beings. They never detail the gruesome methods. They never tell that to the actual the people that go to those abortion clinics. They never tell them, this is exactly what we're going to do. Now, we know what they do, and I really don't want to spend time dealing with those because that turns my stomach. And I've preached on abortion before and I've mentioned those, but it's not for this time. But what is all that? Man has made himself God. By denying God's word, man makes himself God. And so a child in the womb is not a tissue, it's a child. And so what God has called a person, man has called a tissue. What God has called a child, man has called a pregnancy. A child in a mother's womb is not a condition that must be removed like cancer. A child in the womb is a human being made after the image of God. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." So we see that abortion really is defying God, the sovereign. Abortion is also despising the soul of man. There's really a contempt for the human soul, right? Because we're not body. Now again, evolution is what? We're the product of just information, right? We came from mud, fish, lizards, dogs, monkeys, humans. That's where we are. So we're just like animals. That is really a despising of the human soul. We're not like animals. We're made in the image of God. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 22, the Bible says, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her," so that means the child dies in the womb, "and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." Here's the Bible principle. If you kill the child in the woman's womb and the child dies, then that man's life will be taken. Look, this is what the Bible teaches. Those today who perform abortions are murderers. And according to the law of God, it's a life for a life. And as murderers, their punishment should be punishable by death. Now, I know that that is not popular in our society in our day, but that's God's word. They are taking the life that God created. And that is murder. Now, the expression in the Bible is this: a woman, do you notice, a woman with child? That's the expression in the Bible. And so the law of Moses condemned the man who harmed the woman with child. And so it is heartbreaking to see what is happening in this country on this issue. Many lawmakers have been emboldened by promoting such barbaric behavior. As a matter of fact, if you see, many people in the political scene have encouraged people to go out, to not be silent. Even some people have even promoted violence and say, "We will be heard." They'll even say, now this is the Supreme Court, they'll say, "This is not the final word." I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's the Supreme Court. That is the final word. That is the checks and balances. But man is despising the soul. Now, many argue for the health and the welfare of the woman, and so the arguments often brought up in discussing the issue of abortion are really invalid. What about women who have been raped? That's what the argument is. What if a woman is in danger from the pregnancy? And so the truth is that nearly almost never happens when the abortion is performed. And let's just follow the logic. First of all, the child has nothing to do with the rape. But are you saying that the people who are now alive today, who are the result of rape or incest, that they should now be killed? Are you going to go around and kill everybody who is the product of rape and incest? Well, obviously not. Why? Because they have nothing to do with it. They have nothing to do with it. You see, they often... Now, that's not the issue. The issue today is what? Well, we live in a complete reversal of morality and of God's word. And so what people say today is, well, women need to have their choice. They need to be able to have their careers. They need to be able to live their lives. And this is what our society has promoted, is live in immorality and don't face the consequences of your immorality. Don't let anybody get in the way of your desires and of your pursuits. You can live your life unrestrained by what? Children. You know, you even find that philosophy even today. You know, when people see, oh, you have six children, and people say this, how can you afford them? And I was thinking, how can we afford them? Well, this is what you buy what you can afford. Do you know, people act as if you have children, it's the end of the world. You're going to go under. You're not going to be able to afford them. And you're just going to go broke. And I'm thinking, no, you just don't have to buy a 50-inch screen TV for $2,000. You don't have to buy a $3,000 phone every 6 months. That's a lot of boxes of diapers. In other words, what's the priority of our society? The new car, the latest phone, the latest clothes, the biggest house, and forget about children. That's the society we live in. Now, that's a sad society. By the way, these people are miserable. They are miserable. Just look at what's going on in the streets. People are being crude and violent and inappropriate in their behavior because somehow they think that they won't be able to kill a child, their own child. It's strange, isn't it? Now, what is most troubling is really the unreconcilable support that some church groups give to this. The Religious Coalition for Abortion, also named the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. Now, this is Religious Coalition for Abortion. That's an oxymoron. It's made up of the following denominations. Here they are. You ready? The Episcopal Church, the United Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church, the United Church of Christ, and the Unitarian Universalist Church. These churches are all part of this group, the Religious Coalition for Abortion. Think about that for just a moment. Those who claim to be Christians are promoting, encouraging abortion. So we see abortion is a defiance of God, the sovereign. It is a despising of the soul of man. But also it is a desensitizing towards to sin. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 24:16, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And so we live in a society today who has been desensitized towards sin. And so in large part, many people in government who are promoting people to be involved in that, and they applaud it as something good, something commendable, something to be awarded. And it is the opposite. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so when we learn from the scriptures, it is very clear. And so we, again, address modernism, humanism, socialism, and communism. Man was created. He did not evolve. Okay? So an abortion is not stopping the evolutionary process. Okay? It is stamping out the image of God. In the beginning, only one man was created. Man and animals were created separately. You read the days of creation, the animals created on a separate day. Animals were created to reproduce after their kind, and plants were also made to reproduce after their kind, its kind. And so the nature of man, and we'll look at that next week, differs from that of animals, right? We're going to talk about where body, soul, and spirit. And so animals are not such. There is a God consciousness in all of us. Why? We're made in the image of God. And so when you look at what is going on in this week with the Supreme Court coming out, and again, what they did is they did not outlaw abortion, although I wish they would have, because the 14th Amendment says that the government will not come and deprive from life. So that's pretty clear and simple. That's clear cut. But it's gone back to the states, and now the states will determine. Now, Delaware already has guarantee of abortion. So what do? Well, we teach and preach God's word. We teach what the Bible says about human life. Human life is created in the image of God. And so we understand that all that is going on today is rooted in a false doctrine, in a denial of God's word, and to say, well, human life does not matter. And the truth is, it does. You know, we live in such a society that people say, there was a survey that was conducted to people in the streets, and people were asked just a simple question. You have your pet and your neighbor drowning in the pool. Which one do you save? You aware that the majority of people who answered that question said that they would save their pet? The majority of the people who answered that question said they would save their pet? What is that? There was no hesitation for me. Now, I may like the pet, right? Whatever you call it. And if you have a pet, I'm glad you have a pet. And we don't. Praise the Lord, we don't. But if you have a pet, that's good. I'm glad you have a pet. But they're not human beings. And I'm fine if, you know, you're sad, you cry when, you know, the dog or the cat or the fish die. But it's not a human being. So I don't mean to belittle the animal, because we should not mistreat animals, that's clear. But we should not treat them like human beings. But unfortunately, our society is such that that's where we have arrived. And that is a denial of the Genesis account, that man is created in the image of God. And so I'll stop at that, and then we'll continue to talk about the makeup of man, body, soul, and spirit.